Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I invite you today to turn to the back of your bulletin that you have before you. Our text will actually be taken from Friday's text that's listed here. And it is from the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter, the 16th verse. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are your truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Dear fellow members of Christ's international flock, this year's Olympic hockey gold medal game was truly epic. Two teams made up of entirely NHL players faced off for one final game. And this event divided NHL teams straight down the line. Players who normally wore the same jersey were now set up as rivals. Opponents during the regular season were now placed side by side on the same team. The best of the best Canadian players were gathered from many different NHL teams to form one Team Canada. And likewise, many different Americans, the best of the best American players, were taken from a variety of teams and assembled to form one Team USA. And the matchup of these two elite teams made for a truly memorable game. Well, a similar separating and dividing has occurred for us as members of the Holy Christian Church, though ours is quite a different case. Like the Olympic teams, we have been gathered from many different backgrounds, but not according to nationality or bloodline, but according to our membership in the Holy Christian Church. And as we see in our text, it is the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who gathers this flock from among the nations to assemble them as one true international flock. And it is the same shepherd who also leads this flock with his voice. Therefore, we rejoice because we are part of Christ's international flock. Jesus tells us that he will gather his sheep as one flock. As we read in our text, there will be one flock and one shepherd. But who does this include? As we know from the Old Testament, God had chosen the people of Israel to be his holy nation. In fact, Jesus Christ had come into this world in order to fulfill the promises made to the Jews. During his three-year ministry on earth, Jesus Christ spent most of his time gathering in the lost sheep of Israel. But who of us can say that he is an Israelite? Who of us can say that she is a Jew? And the truth of the matter is that we have been alienated from Christ in more ways than just by our bloodline. Not only are we not Israelites, but we are also separated from God and from Christ's flock by our sin. We follow after false shepherds at times who convince us not to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ, to not listen to his holy word and to disregard it. And as we stray, we may even think, "Oh, I'm not that far off. I can see the shepherd there in the distance. I will still have time to come back to the fold." Or we might even convince ourselves, "This sin isn't really that terrible. I can always ask for forgiveness for it later." But we don't realize that all sin only serves to sever us from the Good Shepherd. And so we continue to stray. We venture out further and further from the Master's fold, until that flock is only a white speck on the horizon, and then it disappears completely. And the wolf quickly overtakes those sheep who have strayed from the fold and tears them to pieces. But take heart. Though our sins have separated us from Christ, and though we have even strayed from his fold many times, he yet has found us. And he gathers us to be part of this one international flock. And in this flock, He does not care about our ethnicity or bloodline. As he says in our text, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." Jesus here speaks of those outside of the Jewish fold. He gathers even Gentiles, the elect of every nation, and assembles them as one international flock. Those who were not God's people have now been made God's people. And there is only one flock, one spiritual body of believers in Christ, the Holy Christian Church. This includes all who trust in God and his Messiah, who has destroyed the wolf, the devil. And it is this same Messiah who also leads and protects his flock here on earth. Last month, Oregon Papers reported an increase in attacks on livestock. These attacks were perpetrated by none other than gray wolves, a species who still enjoys protection underneath the Endangered Species Act in many parts of the United States. The ranchers had little defense against the wolves since killing them is illegal. The threat of exorbitant fines has left many powerless to defend their flock. But thanks be to God that we have a shepherd who is not powerless to help us. Neither is he a hired hand who runs at the first sign of danger. No, he cares deeply for his sheep. And we so desperately need him. Like sheep, we so often stray from the good shepherd. At times, we even run after the wolf, who entices us to come and seek greener grasses outside of the shepherd's protection. But Jesus doesn't run at the sight of this wolf, and nor is he defenseless to protect us. In fact, he has taken on the wolf and won. The wolf had us close in his jaws, about to bite down. But the good shepherd pried open the mouth of the wolf to free us. And as he did it, the fangs pierced through his hands. The sheep were free, but it appeared as if the shepherd had suffered a mortal wound. But he didn't quit. Though his hands were pegged down, though the blood ran down his arms, though the fangs bore deep into his flesh, he didn't quit, for the shepherd was stronger than that wolf. He tore open the wolf's jaw, broke it from his face, and with the wolf's mouth destroyed, the sheep would no longer have to fear this predator. The good shepherd, you see, allowed his hands to be pierced, because that's what it took for the sheep to be free. And yet, this was not his defeat. When Jesus was nailed to that cross of Calvary, it appeared as if the wolf had won, that the good shepherd had finally been defeated in death. But no. Jesus Christ died on that cross of Calvary, but he also raised himself from the dead. And in so doing, he broke the power of death and the devil. Jesus Christ has gone to great lengths. No, to the greatest of lengths, in order to protect you, to rescue you, to free you, and to make you his own. And this good shepherd, who is now risen from the dead, carries out his worldwide shepherd work among his flock, leading them by his voice. And he calls the elect to repentance and faith by the same voice, using the word of his voice, the gospel. It is this word in baptism which he brings his little lambs into his arms. It is this word in the supper by which he binds them to his flock. And it is this word in scripture through which he tells of the great mercy that he, the shepherd, had for sheep who loved to stray. Yes, the good shepherd has gathered men, women, and children from every nation and assembled them as one true flock. It isn't nationality or ethnicity which determines membership in the Holy Christian Church, but the brand that his sheep received in baptism, by which he claimed them as his own. And it is this good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who also leads his flock with the word of his voice, the gospel, strengthening and comforting those sheep. Because it is Jesus Christ who is our good shepherd, who gathers us and leads us, we can surely rejoice that we are part of Christ's international flock. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.